In this chapter, and it's quite a bit of quoting from the New Testament writers in this chapter, so we'll read some of these verses of scriptures here, although we may just pick a couple of them here to talk about. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read along. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrow shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now, I think there's a lot of sermons in this one chapter. But the Lord being our helper, we want to try to discuss and look at the third verse and the fourth verse mainly. He says, when I kept silent, my bone waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I want us to look at this for just a second. And whether this was physical or spiritual or just... either way, David was in a lot of trouble, and he was under a lot of conviction. And one thing is for sure, it said it was all day long. He just couldn't get away from it. And he said, you know what, for night and day, thy hand was heavy upon me. Now, something that I realized that being a God-called preacher, that if God's hand is not on you, don't call you to preach. I don't believe you should go out and try to preach. And I'd have never thought about going out and trying to do anything like that. But the Lord's hand was on me. I wasn't under conviction, but it was a heavy load. It was real. And something I feel like tonight that if I were to come over to someone that don't even know me and didn't even know I was there, we were in a dark room, and I placed my hand upon them, they would know I was there. They wouldn't have to see me. They wouldn't have to hear me. But when that hand touched them, they'd say, well, there's another person here with me. And David's reality is of his trouble is it's God that pressing on him. And if you'll listen to some religions today, they'll say, excuse my voice, for whatever the reason. I told Jesse coming down, I said, I don't even know if I have enough voice to preach or not, but my voice is just really, is very much weak this afternoon, been weak this afternoon, I don't know for whatever the reason. But anyway, he says his hand was pressing on him. He didn't say the word was pressing on him. He didn't say nothing else was pressing on him. And when you got under conviction, it was God and Him alone. There wasn't nobody else pressing on you. And so, if you go into some religions today, they'll just teach you the Word. And I heard someone say one time, the Trinity is not made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Word. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when people come out here and they'll try to teach your congregation, the only thing that we have working for us is the Word. Your conviction, it comes about by realizing and coming to an understanding that you're a sinner by the Word. And that's the way that you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, by the Word. And as they say, faith comes by hearing. But something that I learned and have experienced for myself, and you have too if you've been lost and separated from God, and God lets you know that He has a hand that personally comes to your heart and presses on you and lets you know beyond a doubt you're lost. And he's the one that presses. And you know what the psalmist David says? Your hands are heavy on me. He says, my tears, my moisture just come just like the drought in the summer. I cried, I can't cry. There's no more tears left, God. And why? It's because his hand is pressing on me. Why did I get saved? Why did I come to the mourner's bench just pouring my heart out to God, crying and bawling? What could possibly produce them kind of tears? Just that I've heard the word? You must hear the word. There's no salvation without hearing the word. But there's no conviction if the Holy Spirit doesn't come to your heart and convince you of your sinful nature and where you stand with God. There is no seeking the Lord. There's no calling out to Him to the mountain hill of beans. And something that God done with every person in here that got saved, His hand pressed on you. And it broke your heart. It crushed it. And you know the only sacrifice that David ever really knew that would do him any good to offer up to God? He knew he could offer bullocks and everything else. He was under the old law. He knew he could take the blood offerings and go in to the priest and tell them to offer this or whatever. But he knew what God wanted. He knew he wanted that broken heart. He knew he wanted the contrite spirit. And he said, God, I know you won't despise that. And so when that God crushes that heart, presses with his hand, and that person has that broken, contrite spirit, that's the only person in the world could get saved. Not a righteous person, not a law keeper, not a church member, but a broken sinner. That's the only person that has a chance to get saved. And if God doesn't break that sinner, he's not going to get saved at all. If that hand's not pressing on him. So it makes it very important for me to know beyond a doubt, I must be praying. I must pray for God's power to be in our church, in our midst, and working on people's hearts. Amen. And so when he said his moisture turned into the drought of summer, when I was lost, I cried so hard, my sinuses were just letting the snot go. I said, man, that's not very nice to say that at all. But man, I was crying. And people might say, well, I make fun of y'all. You don't have to do all this crying, excuse me. You don't have to do all this crying and bawling and mourning. All you got to do is just put your faith, just believe in God. He'll save you. And I thought, this is a dead sinner. Dead in trespasses and sin. Eyes that cannot see. Ears that cannot hear. A heart that can't understand. That's a sinner for you. He's a child of wrath. And something that God's got to deal with is all those problems. And he solves that problem and gets through all that hardness and that heart and them blind eyes and them ears that can't hear. He presses on us. He presses on that lost sinner. He shoots right past all that, goes right into the heart and convicts it. And when that heart is broken and is seeking God through repentance and faith, just looking to God for mercy and calling out on Him, God can come in there and make that dead sinner alive. He can quicken that sinner. And until all that happens, He cannot. So it's very important we realize tonight that if there's no pressing on of the hand, there's no conviction, and then there's no salvation. Because the Apostle Paul, he's writing that church at Corinth, he knew he made them sorrowful. They weren't sinners, but they were people that needed to repent because of the sin they were allowing in church and stuff. And he said, you know what? The godly sorrow is what works repentance. And in that church, after he wrote this, when he wrote his second letter, in the seventh chapter, the tenth verse, he said, you know what? That godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow, he said, that produced the clearing. That produced the zeal. That produced the forgiveness. That's what produces it all. You know, the best thing that David knew to do was go to God with that broken heart and call out to Him until God came in and gives him mercy. And that's what David knew to do. That's what we should know to do today. There was a scripture this morning. Somebody came on the television and I listened to quite a bit of radio preaching, TV preaching, and so forth. And they did not believe in the working of the Holy Spirit at all. And this guy said, the way Jesus abides
in you.
He abides, his words abides in you. That's the way Jesus abides. He says in Ephesians, he says that he dwells there by faith. He's not actually there, but just through your faith and his word in you, then that's the only way he's there and present. And I thought, have you read Romans the 8th chapter? And he said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And I thought, how do you get away from scriptures like that? But anyway, they do, and they'll. Now, when you come into church, you want God in your midst. You want Him in your presence. You want Him blessing your heart. You want Him in the singing. You want Him in the preaching. And David, when he's broken here by God, God's very real to him. Very real. When God is leading you to join the church or leading you in whatever way, He's very real through His Spirit. Amen. When He convicts you, it's real. He makes Himself real to us. And if you're saved, you'll say, I have felt the hand of God on me. And I have felt it. And David had felt it. And one thing that was for sure, when David turned to God, he felt something else. He felt the forgiveness of God. He felt the peace of God. Amen. And when you turn to God and you pray to Him and you cry out to Him through that brokenness, that's something you're going to find. And I told someone one time, I said, when you come to church, I said, what are you really, really, really hunting for? Are you hunting a bunch of people that you can come and worship with? Are you hunting a place where you can come and exercise your singing talents? I have no singing talents. Matter of fact, my voice is gone tonight. But I do appreciate the good singing. Love good singing in church. I like to see people in the Spirit, and that means their voices are just at the top. And I thought, I know who produces that. The living God who dwells in us. And one thing is for sure, when we come to church, what do you want? What do you want to find? You know what you want to find? You want to find God. You want to find God. You don't want to find, somebody will just tell me I'm saved. I want somebody to tell me if I can just obey these ordinances or say this prayer, I'll be saved. No, what you want to find directly is God, forgiveness through God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you don't want nobody wants anything less, but that's what they get. They get less. They'll get a sinner's prayer or whatever. They'll get an ordinance to go through or whatever, and they'll wound up being short of knowing God through the hand pressing on Him hard. I want to go over to another chapter here right quick in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. And I want to read just two or three verses here. In the 15th verse, it says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children. He refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Now, they're on the other side of the pressing hand. They're on the other side of the mourning and the weeping and the cry. And when you got saved and the Spirit came into your heart and gave you peace, you was on the other side of all that. Now you're coming over on the side of rejoicing and the fruits of the Spirit, the joy, the love, the peace. When I got saved, I was trying to hug everybody I could get my hands on. I was 13-year-old when I got saved. And I was just trying to hug everybody. And before that, I wasn't wanting to hug nobody. But these people have come to the other side. And then on the other side of the pressing hand, there's a blessing that are lots of that. That are unspeakable. That are joy unspeakable. Full of glory. That'll lead you and direct you throughout all your life. Never leave you. Never forsake you. Give you a home in heaven. But you've got to get through that pressing hand. You've got to get through that bitter cup of repentance to get on the blessing side of God. And walk around this world knowing that God dwells in your heart. And that He was the one that set all that up. When I was lost, He was present.
was crying and broken. He was like, I couldn't stop.
Spirit would leave, service would die down. I'd get up and go home. The third
night I went to the altar, I'd been lost for a few years, probably 3 years. Don't remember how long I was lost, but
I didn't go to the altar that much, but I'd seek the Lord different places.
When I got saved, that hand quit pressing. I could quit crying. If I don't even cry after that, it was because of tears of joy.
And he was telling me, you know what?
When I go out here now and I'm doing stuff for the Lord, hey, I'm going to be rewarded. Hey, don't God pour out blessings on us for doing simple things just like coming to church or inviting somebody to church or whatever? Doesn't he pour out rewards on us that are more valuable than anything in this world? Nothing can even top it or whatsoever. When I was lost, there was nothing but bitterness. Then when I was saved, it was like, oh man, I'm on the good side. And I get to enjoy all these good blessings. Somebody will come along and they'll tell me and say, I think y'all are a bunch of emotional people. And somebody, he was on radio preaching, he said, we don't believe in all this mourning and crying and seeking the Lord and stuff. And I thought, maybe you should read your Bibles. Maybe you should go into the Old Testament and find how they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah, they had repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago if they had heard the gospel. He knew how to repent. They knew how to repent. When Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites, how did they repent? In sackcloth and ashes, in brokenness. Is there any different than us? Well, of course not. That was the gospel preached to them just like it was unto us. How do we repent today? We repent in total, absolute, 100% humility, shamefacedness, shame of our sins, and the brokenness. And that's how we repent. It's how they repent. That's how we'll repent. That's how, from the time that Christ comes back, that's how the world will have to repent. It'll be in that brokenness. And it'll be because God's hands presses on. And thank God for that. I want to go over to, I don't even know where I really want to go. I've lost my scriptures. You ever buy these Bibles? I've had this Bible here for 30 years. This is not this Bible, but this style of Bible, and where all the pages are on the same place and the letters are all the same. So I've had this probably for this same Bible, different versions of it, for 35 or 40 years. And usually when I get them, the backs will wear out. And I thought, well, I'm embarrassed to carry it to church. So I got a Bible cover. And so the outside of it's real good. And now the inside of it's coming apart and all the pages are coming off. And I thought, that is so aggravating. I thought, I'm going to get me a new Bible, I guess. But they're very hard to find. This here I bought it. I just happened to walk into a store down at Nashville, and they just happened to have one. I thought, if I pick up somebody else's Bible, I am plumb absolutely lost. But anyway, let's go back to our morning. He said, blessed are they that mourn. They'll be comforted. James said, be afflicted, mourn and weep.
Let your laughter be turned to heaven, your joy to sorrow, and ever how that goes. And I run around here today, and I think everybody wants sinners to not feel uncomfortable. If you're in some of these churches, they don't want the sinners to feel too bad. A friend of mine up in Walnut Grove, he was up there, and he told me, he says, he got saved, he met a missionary Baptist woman and married her, and he'd go to church with her. And one of the things he said in his testimony, he said, I don't know why anybody would come to church and want to feel that bad in their heart. So he quit coming for a while. He said, I don't want to feel like that. And anyway, he said, I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to feel that way. Finally, he started coming to the Lord, coming and got saved. Now he's just as good a member as you can find anywhere. I mean, he's just faithful. I mean, he just gets into church and works like crazy. But he had to go through that brokenness before he could come over to God's rewards and God's blessings. How about we come in here to church, and we're hungering for the Lord. We want His blessing. We want to be fed. And all the things we really want, though, is the number one thing. We want His power. We want His presence. We want His power. We want lost people to come in and not feel comfortable. We want them to feel uncomfortable. We want them to be sorrowful. We want them to be in tears. We want them to cry and beg to God till they know that they've been born again, been saved, and washed in His blood of Jesus Christ. And one thing that's for sure, I'm glad that His hand pressed on me one night, or different nights. I'm glad He didn't give up on me and turn me over to a reprobate mind. And I'm glad He kept pressing till this dead sinner was able to fully repent and put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God had not have broken me, I would have never been saved. If I'd have never came and mourned before the Lord and called out to Him. You say, well, does mourning save you? No, it's just part of the pain in the process of you being brought to that point to where you can surrender in repentance and faith toward God. It's part of that working. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing, is working that repentance in your heart. I know that tonight this is going to be a short lesson, but this is what was on my heart. Just His hand pressed it on me, and I got to thinking about when I was lost, how the Lord dealt with me, and how He pressed on my soul, and which was producing that repentance. And I know that that's what David's even a saved person at this time, but he's got to go to God and get forgiveness for his sins here. But anyway, this is my message, and I want to say I appreciate y'all allowing me to come this way. And something that I've got to realize as the churches, Missionary Baptist Churches, it's a lot of work to be here on Sunday nights and let visiting preachers come and stuff. And you support a pastor, then you support visiting preachers, and you do all this other work. So it makes me really appreciate the labor that the churches do to allow preachers like myself to come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.